Hey everybody, this is Whitney. Welcome to Raising the Remnant. It is so good to be here with you again. I was thinking about kind of where I want to go, where I feel like God's taking me in this journey of podcasting with you. You know, and I'm aware that, you know, there's all these different, like when you start researching, like how to grow a podcast or how to grow a YouTube channel, there's so much information out there. And, you know, I always like to say, especially on my podcast, that I think the greatest thing we can do is really teach our kids to seek the Lord and know his voice for themselves. And so I've been really thinking about that in terms of like, you know, should I have longer episodes or shorter episodes? And then I felt like the Lord was like, you know, sometimes maybe 15 minutes is all anybody has. And so I just want to speak about something I've been thinking about this a lot. Rules versus relationship. You know, this is something I like to talk about a lot. And when I preach to you, I'm preaching to me. So just know that this is something I'm revisiting even as my children are growing. My son just turned 10, and I really feel like when they turn 10, it's so weird. Something starts to shift in those double digits. It's like I'm just watching him before my very eyes turn into a man. And he's right there in that in-between place of like a little boy transitioning into, you know, the adolescent years where, you know, manhood is really upon him and is coming upon him. And it's very interesting because in my last episode, I talked about transition. And so every time I come into transition, even with my own kids, as they transition every year into a new year, I heard Lisa Bevere say one time that, you know, she asks her kids at different ages when they were growing up, she said, you know, I used to tell them, I've never parented you at 8. So I need you to help me at 8 know what you need in this year, in this season of your life. And so I've been really revisiting this subject of rules versus relationship because, you know, it's very easy to have rules. It's very easy to be like, go clean that up, you know, and then my boys will ask me why. I always think I better have a good answer as to why that's important, you know, or why that's the rule. And part of it is because I've always encouraged them to ask questions. You know, I don't let them, of course, disrespect me, right? And not in a rude or disrespectful manner, but in a manner that says, hey, why do we do it that way? I feel like that's a good question to ask. If we're going to raise a remnant, we got to raise kids who are willing to ask questions and who are critical thinkers. You know, and I don't need to get on that soapbox. I'm pretty sure that, you know, we can see, you know, even historically why group, you know, thinking as a group and not asking questions is really dangerous. It's also dangerous because it doesn't really allow us to have the full expression of the unique way we see and hear the Lord and the unique way he created us to be. Right? It's not like there's such a big push for diversity recently. But, you know, it's interesting because I'm like, if we were really one in Christ, like he says we are, right? He's the vine, we're the branches. If you remain in me, I remain in you. And if we are one body, right? That's another one, right? There's many parts, but one body. And if we, as Jesus followers, our one body, then we need to understand that the more that we pursue the kingdom of heaven, the less diversity matters. Because if we pursued the kingdom of heaven the way that we should be pursuing it, we would understand that diversity, uniqueness, is a natural byproduct of oneness in the kingdom of God. If I really understand the headship of Christ, then I don't need to talk about how I'm different from you because we're all looking at him. And as we look at him and we pursue him in one accord, we each fall into our own lines and our own lanes. And we each develop side by side our unique gifts, our talents, our abilities, and our positions and place in his kingdom. I think it's when we look at one another versus looking at him that somehow we have to like, I'm different than you and here's why. Well, of course you're different than them, right? But when we're looking at him and we're not all trying to be the same person, we're just looking at a God and pursuing him with all we have, true oneness brings diversity. And so it brings diversity of thought even into our home. If I'm pursuing Christ and my husband is pursuing Christ, we will be brought into one accord. I like to tell my kids, I'm like, go for it. Ask God what he thinks about that thing that, you know, like, I think I've used this before, but, you know, we were talking about, I don't know, like, what's something? A movie, right? Your kids want to watch this movie and you don't think it's a good movie or whatever. I mean, you name it. That could be anything. And this is the funny thing. I always tell the boys, my boys, I said, you know what? Let's do this. I said, you pray about it, you ask God. And I'll pray about it and I'll ask God. And we'll come back in, you know, whatever, set amount of time, and we'll see what he says about it. And I'm going to tell you guys, 100% of the time, if they are truly seeking the Lord and I am truly seeking the Lord, guess what? We are in agreement 100% of the time. And I'm not saying that always happens overnight. Sometimes it's a longer process. All right, we're going to, you know, seek the Lord for 30 days. You know, we're going to fast about this and ask him together, are you willing to do that, right? Give them the opportunity to come into agreement with you regarding some of these rules, right? Because rules only work for so long. Eventually, they're going to become young men and women who have to grow outside of, you know, the home that they're in. And so we would do better to understand that if we are seeking the Lord, we will come into one ship. We will come into agreement with what God is saying because we're both seeking him. And I don't really want my kids to always look at me. I want them to look at him, right? You know, it's not that I don't want them to feel like they could ask me, you know, hey, mom, what do you think? You know, I want to know your opinion. I hope that they can respect, you know, the voice of God, that how I hear him and what he's telling me, you know. But I think that when we talk about rules versus relationship, we get into a place where when we pursue the relationship within that, we are able to safeguard our lives. Rules are never meant to be a means for control. And so why this is on my heart again to just sort of bring up is, you know, I was thinking about eating healthy. You know, that tends to be something that I feel like most parents want to do well, you know, for the most part. We think about those things, right? We want our kids to make healthy choices, and we want to provide healthy choices for our kids where we can. And I've been really thinking about this. You know, we can have rules all day long, right? Like, you know, let's eat a snack that's a good snack. You know, let's not eat right before dinner, you know, whatever that is. We can have all kinds of rules, right? Let's only, you know, I'm just only gonna, you can have any kind of snack, but you can only have, you know, these two snacks, whatever they are, right? But then they see us snacking whenever we want, eating consistently, right? They see us eating a snack right before dinner or not choosing that healthy thing. And it kind of goes back to this whole conversation on rules versus relationship, because ultimately what's going to stand is their relationship with you. That's ultimately what's going to speak the greatest. It's going to speak the loudest as they grow. And unfortunately, I feel like most of our children will emulate what we do and not what we say. And so when we're talking about rules, you know, even rules regarding the healthy food we eat or provide, we want to make sure that that is leading to engagement with them in terms of our relationship with them as well. And so I'm a firm believer. I think that most of the rules that we can give our kids are probably things that we should be following ourselves. And I don't like to give my kids rules necessarily that I'm not willing to follow. And I'm not talking about, you know, like, obviously there's things that, you know, are not good for them being younger, you know, but the bottom line is, you guys, there's a lot of things that aren't good for me, even though I'm an adult. Right? Just because I'm an adult doesn't mean that that movie that they're not allowed to watch is any better for me to watch just because I'm an adult. Right? And I think that that's something else we have to really think about. You know, I think Abraham Lincoln said it right, you know, in the Gettysburg Address, you know, he says, "The world will little note nor long remember what we say, but it'll never forget what we did." Right? And I think that that's really the bottom line. And so I don't really have rules that I'm not willing to follow, because I feel like it creates this, it creates a space where they feel like there's a point where, oh, well, now you're an adult, and so you can do those things. And that's not like a blanket statement. It's just something that I use to evaluate the right rules for my home. Because the truth of the matter is my children are going to grow up. And let's just go back to that healthy food, for example. They're going to grow up and they're going to move out at some point, and they're going to go to the grocery store with their own money. Even in high school, right? I did it. Well, I have my own money now, so I'm going to go buy that Mountain Dew that I wasn't allowed to have because it's my money and I'm making those choices and they can't say no. And I've said this before, but I really believe that rules in terms of relationship are actually rooted and should be rooted in stewarding freedom in our children, teaching them to steward the freedom that is theirs as they grow and that is theirs in Christ. And I just felt like, you know, especially when it comes to eating healthy, I put really healthy things in my home. I love to eat healthy. My husband and I were both personal trainers. And we love to work out, and it's a big part of our life to eat well and ensure that what we're getting is the right nutrition. And we love to talk about that, not really in an unhealthy way, but just that's something we're really passionate about. And so my kids are seeing that. And I don't stock my house full of junk food, but I'm going to tell you that I do give my children the opportunity to understand within reason and moderation, you know, what it is to choose things that make you feel really good and what it is to choose things that don't. And so in my house, you know, I do have chips. I do have chocolate. I do allow them to go to the store and pick out a candy. But that's not their main diet. And honestly, I've never really regulated that a whole lot. Because again, I believe that it comes down to, what do they see you doing? Because 9 times out of 10, that's what they'll emulate. They'll emulate what you do, not what you say. And that goes back to when I talk about rules. A lot of times I will, before I have a rule that I give my kids, I will ask myself, am I willing to follow that rule? Because again, most of the times, right, we're supposed to have faith like a child. Most of the time, the things that are not good for them are probably not that great for me either. So it's just something to think about as you're you're going through this, right? We can't parent our children in a place of do as I say, not as I do. Because Abraham Lincoln had it right. People remember what you do. Talk is truly cheap. But we will know a tree by its fruit. And that's what is the product? What did you produce in your life? And that's what they'll know you by. Not the amount of rules that you put in their lives, but what standard did you hold yourself to? What standard do you measure your own life by? You know, it's funny because, you know, going back to like the movie example, you know, I never have really policed a whole lot of what they watch, obviously. I'm pretty specific about, I don't like a lot of, I don't let them watch things with sex and all that stuff in it, even though I'm pretty open and always have been about sexuality in my home, because I just, you know, I've always felt like it's weird how we keep that on the back burner and we're like unwilling to talk about it, even though circa however many years ago, people grew up on farms for the most part or kept animals and probably knew how babies were made. And it's interesting to me because when I think about that subject specifically, that is something that I'm like, I want to make it a conversation in our home where they can ask questions and, you know, obviously give appropriate answers. And I think I've said that before. But I also want it to be a place where that is protected. And so I am very particular about movies that have that in it. I don't want love or any of those things to be awakened in my kids before it's time. But for the most part, they've seen a lot of movies and always have. And one of the reasons that I've, and this is just a different perspective, you know, totally cool if that's not for you, but I want my kids to be equipped. And so I really have always felt like we watch that together. And, you know, we give things power all the time that shouldn't have power. You know, fear or bad dreams or night terrors or I'm scared of those things. Like, we give those things power by allowing them. And so I never really have had that because, you know, we'd watch things and talk about movies. And I'm going to tell you that movies have been an incredible theme in our life and an incredible way to discuss different viewpoints of God. How does that match up with a biblical view of God? It's been an incredible way to talk about agendas and, you know, ideologies that are being fed through our entertainment. And I mean, in our house, you know, obviously you have the Holy Spirit, you know, but that's just something else that I'm like, we really just ask the Lord together. And I'm going to tell you, there's so many movies that my kids are like, I don't want to see that. Holy Spirit told me no. I feel like God told me no. I don't want to watch that. Right? Because it's muscles they must learn to develop. And what better way to do that than to loosen them in freedom and steward them by walking alongside them as they traverse the media and the platforms and the different things that are out there while they are in your home. It's just something to think about. Something I've been thinking about in regards to common questions that I get or common things that I hear parents talk about. You know, how do you handle movies? How do you handle this? You know, and I guess the real truth is at the end of the day, I handle it like I handle everything else. I ask the Lord about it. And I don't make rules just for the sake of control. I ask him on a movie-by-movie basis. I ask him on a game-by-game basis. And then I invite my children into some of those discussions as well. How do you feel when you watch that movie? What do you think about? You know, is it good stuff or is it bad stuff? How does it affect you? And we work through that as a team so that they become aware of how to navigate the many, many, many choices they are going to get to make in their life. And they learn how to navigate it through a lens of truth, through conversation, dialogue, and research, through asking lots of good questions, and through the Word of God and knowing God's voice for themselves.